Welcome to the Decorations Award Podcast, episode 53. Thank you for tuning in. Host this time around are Alexei of Card, Ninja Turtle, who will be joining us shortly, and Ali Aras.
Welcome.
Special guests, we have members of CSM 8, Sally Cameron, Pandemic Legion, and Kesper North from Gentleman's Agreement.
Hey there.
Hi.
First, I want to give out some shout-outs. I ran into a guy named Magenta Stone. I just passed him through local, and he took the time to come say hi to me. He said that he's been listening to Decorations of War in reverse order, and is now 25 episodes into our backlog. I think that's pretty cool, and I wanted to give a shout-out to one of our mega fans.
And I want to give a shout out to our AT scrimmage partners this past weekend. We got our asses pretty kicked, but learned a lot in the process. So,
can you say sound who you're scrimming with?
We were scrimmaging with 4th District, another Provi Alliance.
Yeah, we were too, actually.
Oh, cool.
We didn't lose to them that much, though.
Oh, of course.
Just saying.
Well, we're now going to be better. We now have a chance to go back and rework comps and all that stuff and become better tournament players, all the exciting jazz.
Yeah, it's they're really friendly guys and very competitive, which is cool. Helps push you.
Yeah, I love working with them in Provi and all that stuff as well.
Got any shout-outs, Kesper?
Want to say hello to my friends in Gentleman's Agreement and the hardworking Blood Tear Brothers who've been doing a great job churning through structures as always.
Sala?
Yeah, structure grinding's a big thing today, and shout out to my supercap pilots that are grinding at this minute in the drone regions.
First of all, before we get into anything else, I want to talk about our sponsor, EVETIMECODE.com. Buy 14 EVETIMECODES, get one free. EVETIMECODE, where your business counts. They support the community, so you should go support them. If you'd like to advertise in Declarations of War, just contact Alexei of Card in-game or post up on our website. We have a very timely poll given the news this week. The poll for the last episode was, how does this Fountain War end? CFC victory, test victory, stalemate, something else. Quite the divided poll. 36% think there will be a test victory. 31% think the CFC is going to have a victory. 25% think there's going to be some kind of stalemate situation. And then 3% people think we're going to see something completely different. Now, since we put that poll up, there have been a lot of developments. In fact, just, I think shortly after we got done recording, there was a huge one that Black Legion took a station in tribute and, like, got blood out of the stone. Goons paid them over 100 billion ISK, by some reports, for access to the station because it was filled with cap ships, like, over 140 capital ships trapped. And I think that's your neck of the woods, Kesper. What happened there?
Yeah, that was there. First of all, there was nowhere near 100 billion. I believe the figure that was quoted was, especially when the CFC proceeded to hire Black Legion, was more like 12.5 billion ISK. That's renewable on a weekly basis.
Black Legion is, I mean.
Given the amount of trouble they were causing us, I'd say that it's well worth the money spent, and it was a very prudent move on Mitanni's part, and as well as a very worthwhile investment, I think, because Black Legion did an excellent job of proving just how painful they could make life for us in the North, and since they've been gone, our efforts to defend things in the North have gotten so much easier because 401k is just not as coordinated or as... and it doesn't have the time zone spread that 401k does. Elo Knight's leadership in their Northern campaign, I think, was really vital to their success, and 401k has been keeping up some harassment up there, but it really was a game changer when Black Legion signed on as a mercenary group with the CFC and started working with us.
Yeah, Black Legion's a machine. We were in that alliance for a brief period of time, and Elo Knight is really, I'd say, about 75 to 80% of what goes on there. He's just, he's a constant, you know. He runs like 2-3 fleets a day, and they're huge fleets going out and hitting caps. He's constantly having them hit structures and stuff. It's pretty impressive.
Yeah, I worry with one guy doing all that about the risk of burnout, but Elo seems to just keep going and going and going. He's the Energizer Bunny of Elite PvP.
Yeah, I had a burnout for sure. Most people I know would have burnout, but he seems to thrive. I've never heard him even breathe a sigh of, man, I wish I was doing something else. He always seems to be enjoying it.
Yep, pretty impressive. And then, you know, another big game changer for us, as far as the Fountain campaign goes, is the big news today of what the Nulli Renter Alliance's sovereignty being dropped in Omist, which means that now Nulli Secunda and their allies are pulled back dealing with that. And if, as we hope, Solar Fleet pushes the initiative in taking that space, Nulli Secunda could effectively have to drop out of the Fountain War and defend their own space.
So, before we get into that, let's talk a little bit more about some of this Black Legion fallout. You said it was 12 and a half weekly for the fighting, so Black Legion has now moved from the north down to the area, pretty well, basically where Tess lives. Hasn't really set standings with the CFC as far as I know, but has certainly had the cannon redirected towards Test. What was the exchange for the actual caps in the station? Are you aware, or?
I'm not aware. As far as I know, there wasn't anything. It was just the negotiated mercenary deal. But
oh, there absolutely was.
Well, I can't confirm or deny that, because I don't know.
Well, there was some large sum exchange for the initial, I would say, to grease the wheels of the talks, because subsequently 401k and Pizza got really, really mad at Black Legion and are now no longer friends, apparently.
Well, Pizza has still been working with Black Legion in down south, so they can't have been too mad, but 401k certainly was.
And for those who aren't aware, 401k is basically what's left of Band of Brothers, or the victims of the original Alliance disband. So you can't really blame them for, you know, having that be the red line, being friends with goons.
It's yeah, that would be a pretty big flag.
A mix of Bob and Morse's me, basically. Which is funny, if you think back. Also, yeah. About Black Legion, as far as I know, they wanted to go to Fountain in any case, no matter what. Of course, reinforcing stuff in the backyard can be fun, but it actually almost never gave any fight to them, and that's boring after a time.
Certainly. So now the Sov drop. Pretty much a director-level disband from what I hear. There was some spy in the holding corp for Nulli's Renner Alliance.
Same story as Bob, from what I understand. A member of Nulli Secunda who became disgruntled decided to approach Goonswarm, and they actually spoke with some Goonswarm directors about how best to screw over Nulli Secunda during the course of the Sov drop, and they were walked through the process of exactly how to drop the Sov and what to do to make their exit as painful as possible by a Goonswarm director by the name of XTTZ, who had the experience from the Bob Sov drop.
And we saw this method, what, like not even 6 months ago with unsecured chairs?
Yeah, this happened to it was a Wormhole Alliance before, wasn't it?
We talked about it on a few episodes ago about unsecured chairs and then being able to initiate votes that only you can vote on, and shame on them for not having those locked down.
Ali,
go ahead.
I was just going to say, I find it funny that I've seen a lot of comments being like, oh, you know, this is the worst thing ever, why is this even allowed? And it's, this is the stuff that makes EVE great, you guys.
Yeah, though the share system in EVE itself transparent.
I don't understand the share system, so that's unfortunate. But
shares is a bunch of bull. Every corp starts out with 1,000 shares. And they're just owned by the corporation. And what what happens is, you know, a director can do anything a CEO can do, except get rid of the CEO, which includes apparently taking shares away from the corp. So what a director can do is, if there are unsecured shares, which means they're left in the corporation's hands instead of in the hands of a particular person, he can take those, start a vote to make a new CEO, be the only person able to vote, and then take over the corp in that way. And it, you know, it seems like the decision to create shares in the first place should probably be one that players are making, because there are some interesting uses for them. Noirs uses them for an IPO, but we have a completely separate corp for that. And as soon as I realized that, you know, any director could take the shares, which came out during the wormhole incident, the first thing I did was log straight in. I yanked the 1,000 shares right over to my main, and was like, nope, my corp.
I can confirm he did that.
But it, just the fact that you start out with 1,000 shares, whether you want to use them or not, seems weird to me. Because the other problem is, if you... Well, I guess it's not as much of a problem before, but back before Retribution, or Inferno, excuse me, if you wanted to declare war on somebody as a corp, you had to have a shareholder vote about it. So if you had all the shares with one person, and that person wasn't around, you couldn't war deck anyone. Which, you know, for a lot of corps is, like, the main thing that you do, so... It just seems like a really outdated feature that's causing issues, and I like that the issues can be caused, but I don't... It's just such a ham-handed mechanic.
That's fair. I mostly just like that it is, if you have a director who's sufficiently disgruntled with your corp, and, you know, getting into a position where you have someone who's that dissatisfied that they can sort of torch the place on their way out is kind of enjoyable in a Schadenfreude kind of way.
I don't disagree with that. It certainly makes for interesting stuff to talk about, because like any kind of massive side drop, whether it's hacking, in which case gets reversed usually pretty quickly, or it's the director level spy in the case of Bob or Nellie's Renners, or in the case of Goonswarm forgetting to pay their sov bill for an entire region or two, it just creates like a sense of land grab. Like all of a sudden, all this valuable space is laid bare, and everyone that had their eye on it for years or had a grudge against that alliance for years all of a sudden descends in one spot and causes all kinds of problems. And it's just really interesting stuff to watch and talk about. Yep. I just wish it was... It feels like it's almost forced. Like, in other words, I know that CCP doesn't do it intentionally. It's just a product of old, outdated code. But it's like, oh, we need a metagame. Well, let's have a feature that players can't turn off that has their corps be able to be taken from them if they don't know any better than to take all the shares before they make a director.
I doubt very much that it was intentionally designed that way, mind you.
I'm sure it wasn't, but that's pretty much the only reason to use shares, unless you're using them to lock down BPOs or using them to do some kind of dividend payment. I mean, the modern EVE Corp, they don't serve any role. There's no function for them other than, you know, if a CEO... Because there's no real documentation for the corp interface either. So if your CEO doesn't know that shares exist, that other people can take them, what they can be used for, etc., then... Is that his fault, or is it the fault that it's not written anywhere, and there's no, like, heads up about it when he makes the corp?
Yeah, and there's certainly the potential to use them for more stuff. Like, I've seen shares being used as sort of the first go-to mechanic that you could repurpose to make, have the shares work, have the shares pay dividends out of, like, ratting taxes or whatever, so members get something for being in the corp. Like, that's one of the first proposals that anyone comes up with when they're thinking about those kind of mechanics. So there's definitely potential there. It's just not getting realized right now.
So, 3 CSMs on a podcast.
I feel like we had this last week.
Yeah. Have you guys Is this on the radar for the CSM this term? Is this something that you're going to look at, or is CCP still avoiding the CORP interface like a plague?
I think that we probably wouldn't have thought about it except for this event happening today, but, you know, it's certainly a good reminder that it's something that needs to be looked at, and I'm sure it's going to be brought up.
Yeah, I care about CORPs a lot.
We didn't have much luck getting work on the CORP interface in CSM7. It's a really, really hairy piece of work, but
that's
it seems something focused enough that maybe they could do something about it.
Yeah, the problem is, I think, is that, you know, what CCP will see value in is the fact that as it is today, it generates all this interest and it reshapes the map in a dramatic way, in a way that, you know, tends to grab headlines and get attention on podcasts and that sort of thing. So I suspect that, you know, even if the CORP interface was relatively easy to change, we would have some difficulty selling this change to CCP.
See, I don't know about that, because it does produce a lot of, you know, content for podcasts, but it's also the fact that it's so inaccessible is, I think, a new player kind of issue. You don't have if CORPs are so completely opaque, then it's hard to form a social group that'll keep people in the game. I mean, to the extent that CORPs represent social groups, there are certainly social groups that extend beyond CORPs. But if I think addressing the CORP interface would address that as well.
That level of, like, meta too, though, when you think about it, is not really like designed for the newer players. Like that level of holy shit, I just brought down an alliance with, you know, 200 some systems, 50 stations. Like that's like the end meta. That's what's keeping guys that have been playing like 7-8 years playing and burning director alts to do that kind of stuff. Like, so I can see the benefit of actually fixing the CORP interface because it is a little screwy, but like there should always be that element there because you can't. If you make everything geared towards the newer players, those elements that the older players take use of, whether intended or not, you know, intentional in design or not, you can't take those away too.
There's already a vote to create shares. I think, like, the easiest fix I could think of would just be start a corp with 0 shares instead of 1,000, and let the CEO make shares if they want. And if they make shares, then any other metagaming that happens with those things all can become traced back to that player choice. I think right now there's no choice, and there's no... You're not making an informed decision. The choice is these things exist, and you can leave them where they are by default, or hold them personally. And there's no notification that that's what happens by default. There's no real notification of the consequences. They're just there.
Mm-hmm.
I think there isn't even a wiki article or something about that. Like, it's nowhere really explained really well, the mechanics. Like, if someone asks me how did that work again, then I have to think about it again. Like, I don't know either how that 100% works.
Unfortunately, Alex, this is where I have to drop off and get to my meeting.
All right, well, thanks for being here as long as you could, Gus. We really appreciate you stopping by.
Thanks, Alex. It was my pleasure. And take care, guys.
Yeah, we'll try to get you on for a longer app at some point.
Great. I'd really like that. Thanks.
Very glad of Kessler to stop by. We'll do our best to get him back. Moving on to contract wrap-up. Nora has one contract to speak of. We were pirates for a week.
Yar.
We went to the Losec system of Akamon, which is in the heart of Kaldari faction warfare space, and we did our best to go flashy red, a goal which I'm happy to report we largely succeeded at. There was massive sec loss. The thing with Akamon is, or at least my beef with this contract, is our target area was so small. We had Akamon and then 3 systems next to Akamon, so we could catch people on gates going in and out of the system. And like, two of those systems, which ironically, one was Asakai, host of the biggest fight in EVE that you could imagine, were so dead. There was, like, no traffic there whatsoever.
Maybe it all died after Asakai. Everything got murdered.
I guess so. There's nothing left. But, I mean, there was Akamon, and there was the gate toward the direction of Hisek, and that was sort of busy. Akamon itself wasn't really that busy. But then Asakai and Mushikegi were the two other systems. There was barely anything going on. Our staging system, which wasn't in the contract area, it was one jump outside, was probably where we had the most fighting, because the Pirate Alliance actually lived there and was constantly throwing fleets at us.
Some of the best fights, too, we got were, like, nowhere near that area, too, which is really unfortunate. It was a really bizarrely specific spot for a contract. You would think that there was something going on, something big happening, and there just really wasn't.
Yeah, it almost makes me wonder what the motivations were for... I mean, I don't ask. I don't ask questions. You're not paying me to ask questions. But I do wonder what the goal was, because there didn't seem to be a lot happening in general. There was one group that lived there, but they were very risk-averse. They didn't really come off the station much, and when they did come off the station, they had hot drop support pretty predictably from the kings of LoSec, unless you talk to PL, Snuffbox. And, you know, so if they were ever running around like that, you knew to look for a Sino, and as soon as the Sino happened, you just left. And that was that. Snuffbox would jump on the field and puff their chest out and then run, go away, because there's nothing for them to do. And then it'd be back to normal and they'd stay docked again. And that's pretty much it. The rest of it was like a lot of faction warfare frigates and cruisers, but there was no... It didn't seem to be like we were helping a concerted attack. There didn't really seem to be much of a plexing effort going on by opposing faction warfare or anything like that, so... Just interesting contract.
It's kind of in the middle of... It's kind of in the middle of Black Rise 2. Not even really a pipe, I'd say, because if you look at it on Dotland, it's a bit of a junction. I mean, if you're going from, like, the Citadel over to Lone Trek, that's a way you could take, and that's... Well, one of two ways through Black Rise, you know? So, I mean, it's not even like we were...
And the other way seemed to get more traffic because it cut through what appeared to be a faction warfare, if not a headquarters, a mini headquarters.
Yeah, there are systems on the other side of Black Rise now that are showing, like, 1,000 NPC kills in an hour, with the other side showing, like, 1 to 3, you know? They're nothing there.
So how's your sex status now? Did you do the whole tags for sex thing to get back to free and happy?
I sort of did. I was first... Well, I'll tell me specifically. I went out to... we are friends with Echoes of Nowhere, who live in Southern 00. I went out there to try to do some traditional ratting. You know, see how bad it was with the 5-minute global timer instead of the 15-minute but one tick per system kind of thing. And it was slow going. And then I heard... Say again?
It's very slow. Yeah. Much slower than before.
I mean, plus that I was making more money than before, because there was no incentive for me to work from system to system anymore, so I was just running plexes. But it still, it felt slower.
That's actually a NPC plex, and I think it's Mimatalosec somewhere. I would have to look on the map to find the system.
Mimitar rats, yeah.
There's a certain plex and a certain NPC on that plex that gives the most sex status in EVE.
They fixed that in Odyssey. They fixed that in Odyssey.
I was going to say, you know, I wasn't fighting that one.
I did like that a few months ago, that one.
Yeah, it was...
I wonder.
It was in the static data export, and there was a little bit of concern that some people had because they looked at it and they said, oh, are they now... They're forcing everyone to the tags for sec by nerfing these NPCs' sec gains.
And forcing an awful lot in this game when they're complaining about stuff.
They do.
Forcing people out of high sec, forcing people into tags for sec, forcing people to do incursions, forcing people to do missions, forcing people to mine.
The CCP is like the biggest internet bully there is.
I think it's because everyone's forcing is, I guess, the opposite of the sandbox or whatever.
But it still isn't even. Like, Like I said, I volunteered to go out there. Nothing forced me to do one thing or another. I said, okay, I'm going to go rat in 00 normally. It just sucked.
Yeah.
That didn't stop me from doing it. But then I heard some of our new guys. We had a couple returning members this past month. We had like 4 or 5 old members decide to come back to either the game and rejoin or come back to Noir from another corp. And one of them was Rigger, and what Rigger was doing was taking groups of like 2 or 3 people. He had been particularly active fighting faction warfare people. He was just like in a rocket hawk, engaging every faction warfare frigate and destroyer he could, so his sec was absolute garbage by the end of this. And he would just, he would go out with 2 or 3 people in low sec, and they'd hunt for these rats together, so they'd like coordinate which belts they were going to, and identify whether or not there was a rat in that system or not. They would go and they'd kill the rat for the security status gain that the rat gave, which is stronger than, you know, normal rats. And then would just donate the tags to the corp, because they weren't really connecting enough at one time to turn in. And this turned out to be pretty effective. So they would get like the largest possible security status tick every 5 minutes, because they were reliably finding these NPCs in 5-minute windows. So when I heard about that and how fast they were going with that, I said, F this, and jump cloned back to LoSec and hooked up with him. And then I did maybe, it felt like it was about twice, perhaps 2.5 times as fast as 00. And I got myself to -1.9, and then I just bought the tags to go from -1.9 to 0.1. Because I figured I'd give myself a little buffer for the next time I felt like being a bad and terrible person.
My sec wasn't too fucked up from that, actually. Once I figured out that, just don't pod people as often and you'll be alright. I held off the trigger a little bit because I'm typically pretty pod happy, but I had to get my shit up to get into Empire before it, and so I was already sitting, pretty decent, pretty close to -1.6, and I didn't really have much to do. It was nice.
Yeah, I learned that the hard way. I totally screwed my sec status up on a pause kill in low sec, and since then I've actually used the orange setting on the safety most often, because you can, if you can pod someone on orange, then you won't take a sec hit.
Yeah, I'm the same way. I pretty much have mine permanently on orange unless I'm flying a ship with a smart bomb. Well, our final stats for that is a 7-day contract, 43 kills, 12 losses, 1.91 billion-ish damage done versus 0.43 received, total efficiency 81.57%, plus a whole bunch of stuff like 1 or 2 jumps out of the target area, which was unfortunate, but what you gonna do? This week in Mercs, we've got Mercs in the Alliance Tournament. Pandemic Legion will of course be there. We got in this year, so you'll see NAR Mercenary Group flying. And we also got Surely You're Joking, or the Wormhole Mercenaries, which we'll be talking about again in a bit. Who will win this year? Out of that bunch that I just named, spoiler alert, Pandemic Legion. In general, who knows? We've got Verge of Collapse in again this year, Hun Reloaded's in again this year. PL's gonna be there represented. Got Outbreak represented. It's going to be a pretty crowded field. If you think your Merc Corp is doing something interesting, we are now taking fan submission leads. Send your story over to Alexiv Card, and maybe you'll hear it on the air.
So in other news, Surely You're Joking pulled off a pretty amazing heist in wormhole space. They hit the last chancers for about 500 billion worth of stuff, and this was part of a contract that they were on. They had a guy in Last Chancers with roles, so they spit a whole bunch of ships out of the SMAs, stole a bunch of ships, took down a POS. And that's a lot of money.
So this was like a coordinated effort? Like this was, there were people there waiting for the ships and everything?
Yeah, there's a video on YouTube with bits of it, and you can see them. It looks like basically Christmas morning in wormhole space. Just knocking ships out of the SMA and then taking everything down and blowing it up.
Like a really awesome version of hacking.
Pretty much, yeah. And it's notable because if currently the way it's set up, you can't get ships out of an SMA if you blow it up. So pretty much the only way to get this kind of loot out of a hit like that is to have someone in the corp. And of course, in a wormhole corp, you have to be able to take stuff out of the SMA in order to do things in the wormhole, and so it's fairly easy to get someone who can screw you over if you're not careful. And I'm going to look into more information about that. I heard about it as it was going on a little bit from some of my wormhole space friends, and of course I saw it on the internet and in the video later, but I'm going to see if I can get a more full story and bring it back next week.
For the rotating segment this week, we're going to take a look at the Alliance tournament in a little more detail. Some exciting matchups and, you know, some of our histories and, you know, some of the Alliance's planning strategies going into it.
I don't know if there's much to talk about in the ship meta department, but of course, this is the first Alliance tournament since pretty much all of the ship rebalances. We had the T1 cruiser rebalanced, the battle cruisers rebalanced, and the battleships, as well as many of the faction variants. So the meta is a bit in flux. All the old ships don't work necessarily the same way, so I'm looking forward to see what people can develop in terms of fleet comps.
Yeah, and I was pretty disappointed. The Syndicate Competitive League was supposed to have a tournament match. I think it was not last week, but the week before that. You know, Syndicate Competitive League does regularly scheduled player tournaments, sort of like the Alliance tournament, but not quite. But they were going to use Alliance Tournament 11's point spread. And I was very interested to see the teams that people were going to field, because, like you said, the meta's changed pretty drastically. I suspect we'll see a lot more battlecruiser teams and a lot more battleship teams and a lot more cruiser teams. Just that's my initial gut reaction, because cruisers are extremely strong right now, and some of the new battleships are scary as hell.
I'm looking forward to the new battleships. I've been playing with a couple for comps, and it's exciting.
Yeah, Do you have a favorite of the reworks?
I think
specifically for the tournament, but maybe in general.
I think in general, my favorite is probably either the Geddon, because I'm a huge fan of drone ships, and I'm a fan of anything that can newt the ever-loving daylights of something else, out of something else. Or maybe the new Raven. I haven't seen anyone doing sort of skirmish get-in, get-out Ravens yet, but the cruise missiles are much more workable now, and with a dual-prop micro-warp, micro-jump drive, those things go really fast, and they can go pretty much wherever they want.
So?
Yeah, the Geddon and the Dominix are my favorites here. That's the teams you will see the most, I think, especially the Dominix. Dominix is, has the 50% tracking bonus, and that's what it makes so strong. Can track frigates very well. We'll see Galanta heavy teams, I think, in this tournament. A lot of dams, like in the last tournament, or in the SCLs. Dams are still very strong.
I think this is probably the first... go ahead, Sal, I'm sorry.
Yeah. We will see less kiting teams, I think, because of all those rebalances. Ships got faster are faster in general now. So I think we'll see less kiting teams that will win, at least.
Less kiting teams or less effective kiting teams?
See, I don't know about less kiting teams, because some of the ships that got changed, like the Stabber and the Caracal, are very nice points-wise. They're very attractive. And some of the faction cruisers that got reworked, like the Caracal Navy and all that stuff, they also look pretty attractive. And battle cruisers are fast, but not super fast. The ones that really got the impressive speed increase were the cruisers. So unless it's two cruiser teams, I still think kiting tactic would be effective, generally speaking.
Well, if you mix kiting and damps, I'd imagine that the damp teams would shut down too many attempts to kite.
Yeah, there will be a few control teams, I guess, but kiting got really hard. since the last time. The arena is very small. Ships got faster in general. And I think it's harder than usual.
The E-War spread, seeing what people use for an E-War spread is going to be interesting too, with tracking disruptors being nerfed. Probably going to see a lot more things like damps and stuff like that.
Yeah, the tracking disruptor dampener balance is always very interesting to watch. For the longest time, tracking disruptors almost completely outmatched damps in every way. But now it seems like the dampener meta is coming back in.
Yeah, pretty much every team, almost every team, will have damps. And quite a few of them. A lot of Maluses, maybe Karas too. The Karas isn't rebalanced yet.
I don't think we're going to see many carries.
Yeah, probably when you ban the Maulus, possibly.
Oh yeah,
Celeste is very strong too.
I don't recall a tracking disruptor nerf, I remember the tracking enhancer nerf. Which is, again, a nerf to the kiting teams.
I think
tracking disruptors got nerfed especially, just dampeners got put where they should probably have been the whole time. And people still realize that, oh, I can only use tracking disruptors against ships that have guns. Dampeners work on everything.
Right.
Yeah, the dampeners are very strong, and bonus damps on... If your ship is bonus and you have infolinks, you get 75% damps.
That's pretty crazy.
Very strong.
I think the advantage of the tracking disruptor is... You know, with dampeners, even a 75% damp, you still might need two dampeners to really take a ship out. With the tracking disruptors, you can cut a ship's damage, like, pretty much with one, even on bonus, potentially, depending on what you're doing. So, I think module for module, the tracking disruptor is a little stronger, but when it starts to get multiple modules in the same ship, the dampener really starts to come into its own. And I think with the coordination of Alliance tournament teams... You're probably not going to see too many tracking disruptors for that reason.
Yeah, I phrased that poorly. I didn't mean tracking disruptor nerf, just that they were less effective overall in the meta. It'll definitely be the first tournament, I think, though, where we see that like every ship class, you know, frigates, cruisers, battleships, we see the T1 variants be worth the points. Because there's pretty much every tournament it's been where there's always been a class where it's like, oh, well, don't bring the T1 variant, it's not worth the points. But I don't think we're going to have that this tournament.
Yeah, I think I'm looking at the points. I think they're pretty good. I think recon ships are slightly overvalued.
Yeah, I agree with that. I don't think we'll see them a lot.
I also think hacks are definitely overvalued.
Yeah. And they're also not rebalanced.
If they were rebalanced, weaker. Okay. But they're not. So they're the same points as faction cruisers, which did get a balance pass? No. They probably should have been 11 points. I don't know that would have changed too much in the meta, but if you just want to go based on that.
So who's your first match against?
We are up against Shadow Cartel.
Cool.
Yeah, in a way.
I mean, we're up against Snigwaff.
Are you?
Yeah. It's kind of interesting, actually. They used to stage out of Asaw. We, of course, hold sovereignty in 9-FOB2. And those systems are one jump apart. I guess two jumps. You jump into G5 and then you jump into 9F. But
that's going to be very interesting.
Yeah.
I know that they didn't do it intentionally, but I don't know if it's a feature of EVE, just how the social fabric has evolved, but I think there are a lot of first-round matchups which have a bit of history behind them. Like you said, you've sparred with Snigwaff quite frequently in the past. We've had engagements, we had a contract against Shadow Cartel, and then I think a few weeks or months later they came at us and took away some of our Cobalt Moons in a nearby Losek area. And it's like, huh, alright. So... It's like one of those things, like you're seeing familiar faces, there's history between the groups that are starting to fight, and I think that's really interesting.
Yep.
I actually don't remember what our enemy team is. However, we are we'll be much better prepared than in the previous Alliance tournaments, where we almost never did any testing and stuff like that.
You're That's kidding. Why Pandemic Legion doesn't test.
No, we've let down a lot in the last two ATs when it comes in terms of testing. I can tell you. And the old leader is in charge of current testing, and Seamus, and I think our chances are much better this time again.
You're 11 tournaments into it too, you know, like a lot of these guys that have been fighting tournament after tournament, although under different corps, they've been together for a while, you know, that kind of scenario. So definitely, I think a lot of old rivalries too, even if you don't see it, you know, broadcasted on the surface.
Here's a first round to look at. Doesn't have anything to do with mercenaries, but since we're talking the tournament, Verge of Collapse versus Outbreak in the first round. Whew!
A lot of them will be interesting to watch.
That gives me shivers. That's going to be so awesome. I love that it's bracketed direct elimination type stuff instead of the round robin that we used to have. It makes each match so much more important.
Yeah, it's also nice that it's a double elimination, so if you got an unlucky first matchup, you'll fight someone on the second who will be different. Maybe easier to beat.
Well, one would hope. Unfortunately, Gnar has a bit of a mixed record in the tournament. Except for the first. Our first outing, we lost both our matches. The next two times we were in, we lost our first match, won our second match, but never with enough points to get through the qualifiers. So, sometimes that second match seems like it's hope, but really it's just there to make your defeat that much more soul-crushing.
I remember that second match, too. We were all super pumped. We won, and, like, neither of our Vindys died, and, yeah, it was good.
Yeah, versus CVA, too.
Neat. We have yet to scrimmage with them, but I'm sure we will, being space neighbors.
Yeah, Arl, what's the Providence stance on this? Do you guys coordinate with one another, or is it more of an internal competition?
I think it's every alliance for themselves. You know, if we do get matched up in the alliance tournament, there will be no way for us to... There'll be no way for us to avoid fighting them. We can't say, oh, well, we're blue, so...
Well, I didn't mean, you know, like some sort of collusion, but I meant, like, do you share strategies and intelligence and all that stuff, or is it more like... I mean, obviously, 4th District is out scrimmaging, so they might be an exception to the rule. But, you know, for the mercenary point of view, like, I know as much as I would want to see the other mercenary alliances do well, I would want to do better than them.
You know,
like,
no,
I want it to
you.
Be my alliance that comes out the highest. Like, do you want to be first in Providence? Is that, like, a motivating factor? Or?
I just want to be... I am motivated by getting our alliance to go as far as we possibly can, and I'm trying to see how much we can do. So it's not so much that I'm competing with Providence as that I'm competing with everyone else who's not in the Verge of Collapse PL bracket, because I don't think we're going to get that good.
Our second round match is going to be fun. If we do get through Shadow Cartel, or even if we don't, we have to face either the winner or loser of Hunter Loaded and Darkseid.
Good luck. Yeah, that's Sleeper Social Club. James Argent was saying that he's going to be fighting either Verge of Collapse or Outbreak.
Ugh.
Depending on the outcome of both of their matches. Yep.
I think, you know, it's just an honor to be selected, you know. There are so many alliances in EVE. Not all of them are willing to, you know, do all the organization, pay all the money, put themselves out there on television. And to be next to groups like Hydra Reloaded, Outbreak, Shadow Cartel, 4th District, Devil's Children, Razor, Pandemic Legion. Like, These are now alliance names that you'll know by the end of this, if you didn't know them mm-hmm. before. And a lot of them are, like, seriously famous. It's a cool group to be part of, you know?
Similar to how I feel about the CSM at times. I came from Providence, and I came from living in my particular little bubble, and now I CSM with people from all over the galaxy.
I imagine that's a big jump when you are not playing so long as the others. Then you come into the CSM, and you meet all the much older players.
Yeah.
Playing for a longer time.
I've been saying the first 2 weeks are probably, aside from my first 2 weeks of resubscribe, probably the two, like, the biggest learning experience I've had so far.
Yeah, overall, I'm up for it. I'm interested. I think it's going to be one of the best Alliance turns we've had so far.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to having my first Alliance tournament experience. So far, it's a lot of work and a lot of excitement.
Will you be flying on your team?
I will be flying on my team. I'm looking forward. So far in practices, I've already become a better pilot. Given that the Alliance tournament is very different from the style of combat that my Alliance has been doing mostly up to now.
Alright, very cool. So speaking of your experience in the CSM, Ellie, it is now time for the CSM update. What do you got?
We had a really neat project that we were working on that I'm a huge fan of, but I don't know if I can talk about it. I know Ripper said some stuff about it on his blog in the form of, like, we did something this week. There were people who were grumpy on Twitter about CSM updates
Allie,
and stuff.
Allie.
What?
Poetic stencils, not people.
Okay.
He thinks he's people.
If you feed him at the table, he will never leave.
I'm coming to this realization. I ran for CSM as an optimist.
And how's that working out for you?
It's great.
All right, so go on Twitter.
Anyways, I wrote a post on my blog with everything that's been going on so far, basically.
Yeah, I can only agree to that. We've done something, or most of us at least. And,
Yep.
Yeah. Was quite funny. Interesting.
So is this something CCP facing or player facing?
CCP facing.
Hmm?
Okay. Was it the theming process?
I don't know.
Because I remember that as being very fun.
I see, this is where I stop and I go, well, there's this NDA, and I signed it, and...
Well, at least you know, you've given us some clue there.
Yeah, it's... reconstituting my words.
Is it something players will ever see, or is this more of like a back-end kind of thing?
I have no idea.
This is like the most elusive CSM segment ever.
I'll go through my blog list and just
I don't
second.
Feel very updated.
Alrighty, hang on. I need another run up at this.
Well, while Allie's working, Sala, since Kesper had to scoot, we didn't really have much of a chance to talk to and about you. And it's been a bit late in the cast, but why don't you introduce yourself to the audience and, you know, who you are and what you do and what your role is on the CSM.
Yeah, I'm Sala Cameron, the guy from Pandemic Legion. I'm mostly FC in Pandemic Legion. In the CSM, personally, I've done a lot of, we could say QA stuff in the last weeks. I pushed a lot for bug fixing, generally. Things I've always wanted to get rid of in EVE. Things, you know, bugs. Bugs you don't like,
yeah.
They annoy you every fucking day.
What's on your hit list?
Oh.
Like, what bugs did you come in going, you know what, this one's
I can't tell you what I've done, or, you know, but there's a lot of stuff I don't like. For example, the time bridge bug, if you know that one. The one that doesn't let you bridge. No, the one that doesn't let you bridge when you undock or enter. Yeah, that's a bug that happens to our fleets every day. You know, we use Titans every day for everything, and, you know, that's very annoying, that thing.
It's a very fickle one, too, because even sometimes closing the client and reopening it doesn't help.
Yeah. That's, you have to wait until your ship disappears after the 60 seconds, and then you reload.
Yeah, super annoying.
Then it works for sure, but, and also only join the fleet when the bridge is down already. It's a very annoying bug. Or I also helped with the overview bug that came in with directly after Odyssey.
Mm-hmm. You've
probably seen it.
Oh yeah, personally.
Where you see ghost ships.
I saw it before I heard about it, if you know what I meant. Like, what the hell is this?
See, I somehow totally missed it.
You're kidding me. It seemed to happen all the time.
Yeah. Like, every time you undock. Even a small fleet, even in Jeter.
Maybe I just wasn't paying attention.
So you're an FC for Pandemic Legion. For most players, that's like god level status. What kind of fleets do you lead, and rate yourself to Willis Randolph? Like, are you on his level or on a different time
level,
zone? Or
well,
you...
I'm from Germany, so I'm. Elise lives in New York, so we're not on the same time zone, but I'm often playing in the US time zone, so we're a bit different. Elise is an all-rounder FC in PL. He does everything. Like, all types of fleets, if it's roaming, strategic ops, all ships from supers to frigate. I usually do the very big stuff, basically. Gangs on supers, spying on them, catching them when they do something dumb. And that's, you usually only hear my name when something really big happened, like Azakai or other super cap fights.
Were you seeing Azakai?
At the very start, yes.
Oh, cool.
I got the intel from D&D that they have the time tackle. Then, but there's a lot of battle reports about that. There's no need for me to tell everything. But then I called for the supers and made the call to jump in. Then Elise and Headliner, another PLC, took over. And so because I had to communicate with the allies to get them into the system too. Because it turned out to be different than we thought.
Yeah, I'll say. Believe it or not, even I made it up there. You're down. I was with the Black.
You had a lot of time to get there. Yeah,
it was like a 6-hour fight. Holy shit.
Yeah, tie-dye. Actually, saved our ass too.
Alright, Allie, CSM update.
Alrighty, so CSM, we've been working on cool stuff, we've been working on this cool project that I can't really talk about. Also, I posted yesterday a list of basically all the things the CSM has gotten done this term so far. And I, you know, I had a couple of people be like, wow, the CSM, well, I guess, once again, Poetic Stanzel. Is not a couple people expressing skepticism about, you know, what's the CSM actually doing, that long list can't actually be stuff, and yeah, that's what we do.
You find it ironic that people simultaneously complain about you not being transparent about what you're doing when you put out a list and then saying that you're taking credit for too many things?
Yeah, I do find that ironic.
Okay.
I just when I read stuff like that, I want them to state what precisely their argument is and what, if anything, I can offer them that would make them change their viewpoint. Because I'll be honest, if I don't have whatever that thing is, but I'd like to know if you're going in with the CSM is crap and I hate it, and you're not actually, that's not actually a conversation that you want to have, you just want to whine. But yeah, it's otherwise a pretty good list. We did Tech One Industrials. They CCP Rise released the Tech One Industrial rebalance on the forums, and it got released to initially fairly bad player feedback. The Tech One Industrials were mostly stripped of the stuff that they got reduced to a cargo hauler and a tanky and fast hauler for each race. And the extra industrials in the Minmatar and Galente lineups were sort of left by the roadside. Those industrials have since been repurposed as specialized haulers. They haul a variety of different things with slightly larger cargo bays than the cargo-sized haulers, and because they're specialized cargo bays you can't expand, you can fill the low slots with whatever you want, like nanos or tank or comedy stuff, whatever. So that's been, I think, the biggest source of action on the CSM, because we've been saying a lot of the same things the players were with regards to that change. And Rise certainly credited us for helping out with that in the update post. But I'm happy with how it looks right now. Other than that, it's mostly been NDA'd projects and stuff. It's coming into the CSM, or not CSM, CCP's summer vacation, which means that there's not a lot going on. There's not a lot of people in the office. Most of the stuff we talk about ends up being either Alliance tournament related or sort of the devs coming in and being all, hey, what would happen if this changed? But we're still having meetings with CCP. We have one later this week, which I'm looking forward to. That's about it.
Alright. Thank you for the update. I now feel informed.
Excellent. Excellent.
Even though he hates this podcast, he does listen to it. Is there anything you'd like to say to Poetic Stanzel?
Just be consistent.
Oh.
Pick something, argue for it consistently, and learn to either argue it well or be wrong.
You really are an optimist. It's very endearing.
It's got those big pie-eyed dreams and whatnot.
You know what? It keeps me from becoming bitter and cynical.
You say that now.
I do say that now. I can certainly appreciate how the CSM would turn perfectly ordinary people into grouchy bitter vets over a period of time.
Sala, what about you? Any message to the Poetic Stanzels of the world?
Personally, I don't know Poetic very well. The other members of the CSM seem to know him much better than I do.
It's because you don't spend...
I'm looking at Twitter sometimes, usually when I've read some of his hate, PL hate posts. There are a few, I guess, and I don't have any message for him.
Alright, so what I'm gathering is the show notes summary should be Poetic Stanzel not relevant and needs to step his game up. Gotcha. Still waiting for him to come on the show.
I know he did Crossing Zebras at one point.
Yeah, but that's because Xander treated him with kid gloves. You know, Poetic's body, it's very soft, like a baby's. You need to be gentle.
Like a crumply roll of tinfoil.
You meet Poetic and find out he's just like a tinfoil mannequin.
I feel like there's a picture somewhere of just a tin, like a man in a tinfoil suit. I think I've seen that on the internet.
Can't be too careful. That wraps it up for episode 53. The Rehadalon Battle Report contest is still open. We actually have not had any submissions. So, field is wide open if you'd like to win two plaques. And if not, we'll figure out something else to do with those plaques that's maybe a little more interesting to people. Go to decorationsaward.com to participate in the show polls, leave a comment, put in a donation. This podcast is listener supported, and the donations, recurring donations, and sponsorships help pay for hosting, editing, better equipment, and other cool stuff that we hope to bring in the future. Like this headset you're hearing me on right now. My old one broke, and I had to get a new one on short notice, so we were going to miss an ep. I was able to do that, and that's thanks to you guys. So thank you very much for all the support that you've given us and will continue to give us. You are amazing. And of course, our sexy t-shirts, which, you know, even if you don't want to support us, still look awesome. You can get them via the Acquire Loot button on the site. You can reach Noir via our public channel, CafeNoir.com, or apply to join us and Noir Academy at the forums at www.noirmerks.com. Fly dangerous, people.
Pink fluffy unicorns dancing on rainbows. Pink fluffy unicorns dancing on rainbows. Pink fluffy unicorns dancing on rainbows. Pink fluffy unicorns dancing on rainbows.
Let's test your knowledge and see what you've learned so far. What color are the unicorns?
Pink!
Where are they dancing?
Rainbows!
Please use one word to describe the texture of their magical fur. Smiles!
Yeah!
Pink fluffy unicorns dancing on rainbows. 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 Pink fluffy unicorns dancing on rain.
Could you make me some breakfast?